Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. Go ahead and get your questions into the chat, and we'll get to as many as we can. Today, we're talking all about Microsoft Build, which is coming up literally next week. My name is Seth Juarez, and I'm excited to be here with Christina Warren to chat about all things Microsoft Build. Christina, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad to see you, Seth, even virtually. And as you said, we are just like days away from Microsoft Build, which is really exciting.
And literally ask us anything. Christina Warren and I have had the opportunity together to do show shifts like from midnight to like 8 a.m. And you think we're loopy now.
Hey, that's the best time slot, Seth. That's what that's called. That's called the best time slot. So
yeah, because we get Europe to because I love Europe, by the way. They get to watch and talk to us. But for those that don't know, Microsoft Build is coming up May 25th to the 27th, which is next week, with lots of great sessions just for you. I know I'm doing one. I do a demo in one. Christina, you're also hosting. What's the thing you like most about Build?
I mean, there's just all the new developer stuff, right? Like, I just love to see all the new features because this is what people don't know. Even as hosts, we're in the dark the same way as everybody else. We sometimes have a little bit of advance notice because we have to interview people, but this is just as exciting for us as it is for everyone else. And so just seeing what the new features are, what the new tools are, you know, every once in a while you have something that just kind of comes out of nowhere. Like when Windows Terminal came out a couple of years ago, that was just, you know, stunning and it stole the show. So that's the stuff that I look forward to the most is just all the new toys, all the new stuff that we can play with and all the new things that we can build. See what I did there?
What? Look at you. I got to get my sound effects because I deserved a round of applause for all the good things you can build. Hold on. This is my super exciting. How excited we are. Let's talk about some of the themes because this time around, my understanding is that there are certain themes, which is actually quite good because as you watch the show, you'll be able to get a sense for like, what are they even talking about? There's four themes. So I'm going to name them off. And Christina, I want to get your take on it. The first one is to increase developer velocity with Microsoft's end-to-end developer stack. Your impressions.
Yeah. So that's a bunch of buzzwords. First, yes. That's the first thing I'm going to say. That's a bunch of buzzwords. But no, I mean, I think the big thing there is kind of what we were talking about just a second ago is basically making it easier for people to build great apps with our tools and with our services and to do it as efficiently as possible. And that's really exciting because you don't want to be, you know, stuck in the muck of the code trying to get something to work the right way. You want it to work, you know, with you, not against you. And so that's how I view that.
And I love the end-to-end developer stack thing because no customer is always like, hey, Seth, I want you to build just a really good backend.
Right. And it's like, I just want the back end. I just want the back end. No, because that's the thing, right? It's like you start out saying, oh no, I just need a front end person. I just need a back end person. But really what it comes down to is that almost every project has all these different components. You know, we've talked a lot over the years about the blurring line between the traditional IT pros and ops folks and developers and even citizen devs and you know, professional devs. And that line is blurring all the time because really people just want to make things that work. And what your specific role is doesn't matter. So if you can have that end-to-end process, then that's the best possible thing. If you can have those solutions and those tools that can cover the entire scope of what you're trying to do, it's really great.
And one of the cool things is my very first job, I was still in college. I was promoted to a senior engineer. And I remember walking into this place with my boss, right? And they were like, they didn't pay me this much. But back in the day, this was like 100,000 years ago, they were billing at a rate of $130 to $140 an hour for my time. And I walked in there and I said to my boss, holy cow, as soon as I walk in, I'm on the meter. I don't feel like I know enough to be making that kind of money. And what he said to me, I'll never forget, Bill DeBevick, you can look him up, he's still around. He said to me, Seth, they don't pay you because you know everything. They pay you because you will figure it out infinitely faster than they ever will. And this thing like Build, Microsoft Build, where you're able to go and get that toolbox ready for yourself.
No, I love that. And I love that you had that. You were lucky enough to have the Bill gave you like kind of that realization so early, because I think so many people, especially when we're talking about people who might be career switchers or early career, you know, you go into it and you think, I need to know everything now. And instead, no, what you're getting paid to do is to figure it out faster or more efficiently than someone else. But you're not, you know, you're not being hired because you know everything, because none of us know everything, right? That's why we're on Learn TV, well, hence the name
you
Learn.
You know quite a lot, Christina. Let's not
you know quite a lot too. Well, you know quite a lot as well. But no, I mean, the thing is that we're all learning, and we're all, it's just about exactly like your old boss said, you know, it's that you're being paid to figure it out and to be able to implement it, not that you're coming out of the gate knowing, oh, I know exactly how to do that. Nah. Also, that's right, not fun, right?
I know. And look, me and Christina can talk for hours, but we got to move on. We're already six minutes in. So theme number one, increase developer velocity with Microsoft end-to-end developer stack. By the way, ask us any questions. If you have questions about hosting or what events are like from behind the scenes, just literally put them in the chat. We will answer any and all questions. So that was the first theme. Theme number two, deliver new intelligent cloud-native applications by harnessing the power of data and AI. What do you got for me there?
Okay, so data and AI, that's your area. You are Mr. AI. No, but you know, we talk about kind of these intelligent, cloud native applications. When we talk about cloud native, I mean, that's a really interesting idea. The fact that you are building something that is designed to be run on the cloud. And so it's not your traditional applications, it's things that are thought about from, you know, how many people can I serve and can it live in multiple places and can it have built-in redundancy? And so I think that I would love to actually hear your thoughts about kind of the role the data and AI can play in that, because I think that a lot of that is you're taking, you know, a lot of the you know, compute power is has been offloaded to the cloud. And so a lot of the tooling and the algorithms and stuff can be done for you. And I'm assuming, now, again, I want your thoughts. You know, the nice thing about the data and AI is that it can also help to kind of figure out what's the most effective way for us to deploy these things. And so that when people are accessing these applications in the cloud, they're going to be getting them as quickly as possible. It's going to have the best uptime and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I love the way you put it. Generally, the way I like to think of AI and data is, remember back in the yesteryear when they were like, Power BI, you know, gain insight from your data.
Right.
The thing is, if you're doing Power BI stuff, you are like a half step away from doing AI stuff or machine learning stuff, because literally machine learning is converting data into functionality. Just like, remember, your Power BI was converting data into insight. Machine learning is converting data into functionality. And as you know, the more data you have, the longer it takes to do it, the more hard drive space you're going to need, the more machines you're going to need. And there's a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm working in big data, right? And they're like, yeah, big data. And I'm like, oh, how much data do you have? Well, my database is 8 gigabytes. And I'm like, you know, your database can fit in RAM. When we're starting to get to data that doesn't fit on hard drives, and you're trying to convert that data into functionality, that's when cloud native becomes super important. You know what I'm saying?
Exciting stuff. No, totally. Totally. Do you have any, I'm just going to go off script a little bit. Do you have any things that, you know, anything you want to kind of wet people's whistle on, like things to get them excited about that might be coming up in AI stuff that we might see next week at Build?
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. Let's go to my screen here so that we can get into, if we can go to my screen, Mel, by the way, our fantastic producer. I got to share my screen. She's like, share your screen, Goober. Yes, I will. I'm going to share my screen. I got to share the right screen too, though. Let's see which one. This is the screen. Screen number two. Let me get number to two. That. I got to push the share button. There you go. Now I'm sharing.
Nice.
Everyone,
hey, look, here's like, my face and your face.
And my face. Everyone's like, Seth, you're not sharing anything. Yeah, embarrassing. So let me show you a little bit, because that was just a perfect segue into, let's talk about when you're logged into the mybuild.microsoft.com site, what you can do. And here you are. Here's the session. So let me go here and let me just type my name in, because I can do whatever I want.
You sure can.
This is live, right? Take a look at the sessions that we get to play in. And the one that I'm excited about is understand the ML process and embed models into applications. In here, we actually go through the process of creating a machine learning application all the way from idea into an endpoint that you can literally call. And we'd amazing. Go through it really fast. And if for those of you that watch this and are like, well, I want to see the demo, I have it. So make sure to keep me honest. I can send you the GitHub repo and all that. But this is just an example. By the way, you should register for Build. You can see that right there. aka.ms,
yep.
Register for Build. One of the cool things you can do is you can look at all the sessions. You can create what's called a backpack to save the
love
session.
Love the backpack.
Oh, it's so good. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. So the backpack, and this is a feature people have actually kind of requested of us for years. What the backpack does is it adds all the session information to your backpack. And so you basically get a document that you can download where it'll have the links to where all your sessions were, links to anything that might've been included in the session. So for instance, that GitHub repo, if you put it in your session content, then that'll show up. It'll also have, you know, like PowerPoint decks if those were there. So you have the ability to keep up with what happened and what was shared in those sessions, even after the event is over. And what's great too is that if there was a session you didn't have a chance to attend for whatever reason, you add it to your backpack, you can go to your backpack later on and be like, hey, I still want to check this out because the content will be available after the show.
Long story short, Christina is telling you to go to the Understand the ML Process and Embed Models into Your Apps.
Yes.
Add it to your backpack.
Just click. Like, yes. Add it to your backpack. Seth gets a prize if he gets the most ads. So, yeah. So definitely add it to your backpack.
Christina has promised me a sturdy high five once it's safe.
I sure have.
If I have a lot of it. So by the way, her high fives are the best in the biz, as you know. So this is part right here. Now, to get back to your question, yes, this is a sneak peek. There's another one. My friend, Ishigal. Eric Boyd. There you go. It's because she's using the awesome characters. These are so cool, by the way.
That's so awesome.
But she is in the Build Intelligent Applications Infused with World-Class AI. This demo, she showed it to me, bananas. But I'm okay. Talking like Star Trek bananas, you know, like you know how when you I'll say this, maybe I'm saying too much, but you know how when
we're just between friends here, just chat.
We're between friends. You know how when you like the Star Trek people show up on another planet and everyone's all speaking English?
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, now I'm actually really excited.
I know.
I
know.
Okay. That's I can't wait to watch that.
I'm just saying.
That's really awesome.
So to answer your question, for a sneak peek at some of the stuff, that's what I wanted to sneak peek you. So that was theme number two. If we can go away from my screen, we'll come back to this in a little bit, if that's okay, Mel. That's theme number two: deliver new intelligent cloud native applications by harnessing the power of data and AI. Number three, I'm like making mouth sound effects, and I have like actual sound effects.
I was gonna say, you have a real soundboard?
I have a real soundboard, and I'm like sitting here going ding. Gosh, I'm such a goober. Number three theme: build cloud native applications that run anywhere. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, no, this is exciting, right? And so a lot of this, you know, when we think about, again, we talk about like our cloud native apps, which are things that we're, you know, taking into consideration from the ground up, like what does this mean to run in the cloud? But the idea that you can run it anywhere, so you can run it on your own cloud, if that's what you've got in your own data center, your own on-prem resource, you can run it on our cloud. You could run it on a different cloud if that's what you wanted to do, or multiple clouds if that's what you wanted to do. That's really important. And then I think the big thing that I'm expecting that we'll be hearing a lot about is the act of being able to containerize applications so that they can easily be moved from place to place. So the idea would be, okay, I have my application. It's set up in an environment that works great. It runs great on my machine, right? That's what we always say. But I want to ensure that this will run great on other people's machines too. And so using things like Dapper and some of our other kind of, you know, projects that we've contributed to in the container space, that can make that possible. And so I'm expecting that we'll hear more about that. But that's just kind of my impression. But I mean, it's to me, I think this is really good because it opens up the possibilities of, okay, I'm not just building this thing. A lot of times when people hear the cloud, they get freaked out because they're like, okay, but am I locked in? And there can be advantages with using one platform over another. But the truth of the matter is being able to run it anywhere, whether it's locally on-prem, you know, on our cloud, on another cloud, on multiple clouds, is really compelling because it gives you a lot of flexibility and a lot of freedom.
That is right. And then here's another wrinkle. I'll give you a tiny anecdote. One of the greatest privileges I have at working at Microsoft is sometimes I have assignments in other places and I get to meet amazing people and look at tremendous issues that they're dealing with and how technology can solve that. I was in Kenya on assignment and we went to the wildlife reserve and they said to me, well, me and us, there was a bunch of us. They said, we have a problem. Sometimes the lions escape from the fence and kill people. How can you solve that? And this was, I was like, wow, that is a tremendous problem. But when you think about applications that are sometimes disconnected, but still cloud native, how do you do that?
Yep.
And there's a way to do that with edge devices, with AI. Imagine building an AI that looks at a picture and says, oh, lion there, send an alert, right? And it being maybe having like a 5G kind of pull, I don't know what those called. You're smarter than this than I am. What are those called? Antenna, 5G antenna. Yeah. Is that what?
Using 5G or any other edge technology, right? And so it was like when it has that connection, it can execute, you know, what it needs to do, even if you don't have that you know connectivity all the time. Yeah.
And the thing is that people don't think of that as a cloud native application, but it can be. And that's the gloriousness of the types of applications we're building today, building cloud native applications that run literally anywhere, even on a fence in Kenya. Now, we haven't built this yet, but if they ever invite me back, I might stay for a little while and build it.
I think you should, because we need to, you know, we don't want to... we don't want that to happen, but in cases where it is already happening would be in agriculture, right? In farming,
right.
Because
exactly.
And this is a huge place for IoT. When we talk about IoT and edge devices, basically meaning these are things that are, you know, you've got a lot of things that are just, you know, running locally, but then you've got these one spots that are able to connect that internet and execute what they need to do. And it's massive in agriculture. It's totally changed the game because you have places where they can now have sensors that can pick up on conditions around drought or other conditions for farming and then make decisions about how they should handle either their, you know, I guess like how they plant or reap or
what, water. Maybe they don't need water exactly. Because the soil is already. I mean, there's so many good things that you can do to optimize this stuff. And again, remember, my specialty is converting data into functionality. Imagine the amount of data you can get from a farm or from a fence or from whatever in a cloud native app that works or runs anywhere, which is theme number three, build cloud native applications that run anywhere. And then number four theme, last but not least, collaborative apps for the hybrid workplace. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the C word. The COVID-19 is not just the 19 pounds that I put on while I was away, but it literally has changed the way we work. Your thoughts, Christina?
Yeah, no, I was going to say it's completely changed the way that we work. I mean, it's kind of funny to think about, you know, a year ago when we were doing Microsoft Build, it was right after, you know, COVID kind of hit and we were all in lockdown and we were all trying to kind of figure out, okay, how do we even do an event at all? Now, a year later, I think all of us as Microsoft people, as a society, as, you know, people who are in our audience, we've figured out how to work, and working is different. And collaboration becomes really important, and hybrid becomes really important, because I think that what happened before is we used to always kind of talk about things in like two camps, like you were either remote or you were in the office. And there was kind of like this weird, distinct line between how that worked together. And even if you were in a remote friendly place, if you did have people who were in the office, there was this like, you know, kind of tension where it was kind of like, well, you know, they're maybe not going to be included in everything. And even at events where it's like, oh, we have an online component, but that's just kind of this extra thing. The real thing is that we're going to be there in person. And I think what's changed over the last year is we've all had to realize, okay, A, we all need to find ways to work together, work in different time zones and work with, you know, the different things that might be going on in our lives. But what excites me is going forward is, yes, we are going to be returning. Some of us will be returning to the office, which is awesome. And we're going to be returning to in-person events, which is amazing. But that doesn't mean that the way that we've been working for the last year is going to go away. And if anything, this is what's exciting, is we can learn about how those two worlds can work together so that you can have these hybrid ways of chatting and getting work done where no one feels left out. Like, you don't have like this feeling like, well, I'm not really part of this if I'm working from home, or I'm not going to be able to be as productive. And a lot of that comes from Microsoft Teams, which has improved tremendously and has grown so much over the last year. A lot of it too comes from people, you know, coming building apps and experiences around that, because now we all have firsthand experience of what it's like to not have an option. To like you and I, our offices used to be right next to each other. You could just walk in and chat. And she now we have
on the wall and be like, Seth, you're too loud.
I would, because you're very loud.
I'm very loud, yes.
You're very loud. But yeah, you know, but now it's like, you know, you have to find different ways to work together. But that also opens up, I think, really important possibilities and really great opportunities to do different types of work. And so that's something that is not going to go away just because, you know, knock on wood, more and more people are getting vaccinated and things are opening back up. That doesn't mean that everything that we've worked on for the last year goes away. If anything, I think it means that we become more inclusive, right?
Yeah. And that's the key, I think, that the takeaway is that everyone is thinking about now, how do we include folks when everyone's away? Because we have been forced to everyone be remote for a little bit. And that, like, we are never going to not think, how can I include this person? Or at least I hope we never go back to that. Because
I hope not.
Our teams are very distributed. I have team members in, you know, San Francisco, you know, Minnesota, the Netherlands, you know, everywhere. And the reality is that collaboration has become much better with the tools. And the thing about Teams, and I hope they talk about it, I don't know much about what they're going to talk about, so I'm not spilling any beans here. But I started recently looking into add-ons for Teams. Mm-hmm. The myriad of things you can do, from tabs to bots to tons. There's a ton of functionality that you can add to just make the workplace more collaborative and more streamlined. It's pretty cool stuff.
It really is. It really is. And like you said, like, there are all these add-ons and different things you can either build yourself or take advantage of that other people have built that really make it that much better. And so I'm expecting we'll hear even more about that stuff, which is really fun.
Awesome. So that's theme number 4, collaborative apps for the hybrid workplace. So just a little recap of the 4 themes. Number 1, increase developer velocity with Microsoft end-to-end developer stack. Number 2, deliver new intelligent cloud native applications by harnessing the power of data and AI. Number 3, build cloud native applications that run anywhere, including your farm or a fence. So we had a little chat about that. And number 4, collaborative apps for the hybrid workplace. And if you look at these themes, overall, we're trying to address the most important problems facing technologists today. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's really cool. And, you know, Build is my favorite event of the year. I love it so much. So I'm so excited that we're going to be back and all the new stuff that's going to be announced, all these themes and the stuff that we're going to be able to really kind of really hone in on this stuff. It's going to be a really great time.
Yeah. So I want to go back to my screen so that we can now, this is the part where we were supposed to, hopefully is my screen still sharing? Yes, it is.
It is.
Wonderful. So I wanted to show a little bit so that we can go through the website, because I know we do this, we call it wayfinding in the show, but I want folks to get a good feel of what this is like. So if I turn a little bit, it's because my screen is right here. So this is the you part. Things for you personally. So you have things like your schedule, your backpack, and then the digital swag, because as you know,
we love
conferences without swag. Now, you've done some wayfinding before. How did you explain this part, Christina?
I had a script that I read off of And I'm trying to think now. Yeah, I mean, basically, kind of exactly what you described. You know, those are your different areas where you can go to figure things out. I think your schedule is one of the most important things that people are going to want to do, is go to that schedule. You can build it out now, or you can look and you can find the things that are interesting to you, and you can add them to your schedule, and you can see what time things are going to be available, and figure out what fits. If you can't attend something, add it to your backpack anyway, because like I said, you can still come back and look at it later. But that My Schedule page is really going to be the key, because you can search both by, you know, names like Seth Juarez, yep, if you want to be able to follow his stuff. You can also look at different technology areas and different kind of, you know, interest areas. So if you're really into data and AI, you can view all the different sessions that are happening then.
I'm going to put our walk-off music on, because this is exactly 5 minutes and 15 seconds, which takes us to the end of the show. So when it starts, yep, getting over, I know we're almost done. So I'm going to put that in the background so I know, nice, when to stop. So here's the cool bit about this. It tells you, you have a 7-hour, 29-minute gap in your schedule. Love just it. This feeling alone is wonderful, to have a gap in your schedule, but fill it with sessions by going to find sessions. And you can find all of them. Like, for example, Gabe Monroy is awesome. Jeff Holland is awesome. I want to know about building. Yeah. I want to build, let me go ahead and add it to my schedule. Boom. Or I can't go to it, let me add it to my backpack. Boom. Right. This is how cool this particular part is. So that's what the My Schedule and My Backpack is. Well spoken. And here's the digital swag. You can go through, like, when the events, you can take a look at who should attend, everyone. And that's the one thing I like the most about this is, before there was like maybe 3,000-4,000 people that showed up, and maybe N 1,000, I don't know the exact number, so I'm making them up here, that would show up in this event. But now the volume of people that can participate equally is absolutely fantastic. Okay, let's talk about the connection zone. There's a couple of things that you can do in the connection zone.
I love this.
This one is really cool. This one is really cool. And you know how one of the cool bits of a conference is you hanging out with folks and getting to know people you might not have met? If you set your profile to public, then you can start to meet with other people. Now, obviously, if someone's being rude, let us know, and we'll take care of it. But immediately, here's the overview of the connection zone, which is really cool. And obviously, here's our friend Donovan Brown, who's fantastic. But these are the kinds of things that you can look forward to in the connection zone, which is what you like to do in conferences, right?
No, I mean, that's really the whole point, right? I mean, connecting with people. And I think this is something that's been really great for us to explore over the last couple of events that we've done, is to figure out how to kind of bring that in-person connectivity to the virtual stage. And I think it's really great because you have the opportunity to attend Ask the Expert sessions, where you can ask people questions and get answers right then and there. You can also have, you know, opportunities to, you know, have kind of like one-on-ones with experts or with professionals to kind of, you know, pick people's brains and figure out, hey, you know, how should I approach this, or what's the best way or you know, solution? Is there something that I'm not thinking about? And then, as you said, you know, there are also different ways for attendees to meet up and to talk together through the attendee profile, or through the, you know, attendee directory. So there are a lot of opportunities to connect and really have that human connection, even though we're, you know, doing this through our screens.
Yeah. And then now a couple of other of our wonderful friends.
Love this.
Right? We have these folks here, right? In the learning zone, you can see there's something called the Cloud Skills Challenge that we practice saying, because it's really hard to say.
Challenge.
It's hard to say Cloud Skills Challenge. And so I have to move my face really weird. These are a series of learning modules for your chance to win prizes and expand your skill sets. We have Learn Live, which is people going through Learn modules live with you. It's like a class. And then the student zone, that's the learning zone. So we've gone through the My Event Backpack, the sessions, the connection zone, and the learning zone all here. All you got to do, and let's put the link below. Oh, it's there.
Register for build
today. Anything you want to say to take us out, my friend? And then I put the walk-off music on louder.
Yeah, real quick, we had a question from Jason T. He said, if this is my first Microsoft event, what should I make sure I focus on? And I would say, Jason, you know what, attend those keynotes, those key sessions, and kind of see what some of the themes are. And you know, look through the schedule in advance, I would say. Look for the things that, that kind of pique your interest and find out ways to attend that. That would be my advice, to just kind of find the things that, that seem like it's going to be interesting to you and go from there. Seth, what would your advice be if this is your first Microsoft event?
And we are basically out of time. I'm going to put our walk-off music on and tell you, please register for Build. We are super excited to see you there, and hopefully we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.